You see, once there was this old man, and he was sitting on his porch when the rain started to fall. And the rain fell, and it kept falling and falling and falling and falling, and pretty soon the water was coming over the porch and into his house. This old man was still sitting there when a rescue boat came by, and the people on board said, "You can't stay here. You better get in the boat and come with us." The old man said, "No, God will save me." So the boat left. And a little while later, the water was up to the second floor, and that's when another rescue boat came along. And again, they told the man, "Come, get in the boat with us." Again, the man replied, "No, God will save me." So the boat left him again. An hour later, the water was up to the roof, and a third rescue boat approached, and the old man, and they tried to get him in the boat, and again the man refused. He stayed there in his house, and he said, "I will stay here because God will save me." So the boat left him. Soon after, the man was overcome by the water, and he drowned. And he found himself up in heaven standing there at the pearly gates. And there was St. Peter. And St. Peter, he went up to St. Peter and he says, "I've got a complaint. Why didn't God save me?" He said, "You dummy, we sent three boats." We're going to talk about salvation today. And maybe when it's all said and done, we might say, "God," when he said, "You dummy, I've been trying to save you your whole life. You just don't get in a boat." You know, we're talking about words that we use a lot in Christianese, church talk, religious speak, words we throw around a lot. We talked about grace a couple of weeks ago. That's God's gift. And we saw that gift over there in that spot. Last week, we talked about sin. We looked about that mark, that target, that those places where we are missing the mark. Today we're going to talk about that word, salvation. Have you ever been asked that by somebody? Are you saved? Had somebody knock on your door and be there and you open it up and you're in the middle of whatever you're doing and they want to interrupt your life with the ultimate question? "Hey, do you know if you got hit by a Mack truck tonight, would you know where you're going?" Have you ever had somebody stop and ask you that question? And usually they hand you a pamphlet, right? Like, "Here, in 6 pages, this will unfold all the mysteries of the universe. It'll explain to you the complexities of the human condition, the mysteries of God and our relationship there. And if you want to be saved, simply read this, do what it says, and everything else will be taken care of." You ever had something like that? I don't know about you, but if I'm being honest, sometimes in those moments, as much as I want to get it, I sometimes feel like I'm scratching my head. I say, there's got to be more to it than just this little pamphlet, right? With just a few words and a few line prayer. Is there more to this idea of salvation? You know, probably what I want to say to them in that moment when they say, "If you leave here today and you get hit by a Mack truck, do you know where you're going?" What I really want to say is, "Yeah, I know where I'm going if that happens, but what if that doesn't happen today? What if I don't get hit by the Mack truck? Have you got anything for me then? Is there anything that you're talking about today in this terms of salvation going to mean anything if I don't leave this earth today? I'm hoping and praying that this salvation you're talking about isn't just cosmic fire insurance. But I hope and pray that this idea of salvation has something for my life right here and right now." Maybe the ultimate question is, what if? What if I don't get hit by that truck today? What if I'm going to be here for a while? Does this idea of salvation have anything to do with that? You know, most of our struggles, if you struggle at all with this word salvation, is that I think sometimes that door knocker pamphlet hander, and I've been a door knocker and a pamphlet hander at different times in my Christian walk. Been on the beaches of spring break trying to convince partying college students that this little pamphlet is going to be a lot more fun for them than what they've got planned the rest of the week. That went really well, as you can imagine. You know, but I think what troubles me about those moments is that I feel like that idea of salvation is just, it's sometimes maybe a little too narrow. I mean, God is so much bigger than all of that. Much, much bigger. And I've come to understand that this idea of salvation, this idea of being saved, has as much to do with life before death as it has to do with life after death. So let's spend a few moments this morning unpacking this biblical notion of salvation. It's the word right here, salvation. Oh, there you go. That's God here talking. You know, sometimes it feels like it comes down to a cosmic free throw, right? You're right on the line, so we'll let the free throw decide it, right? I mean, that's what it's going to take. Salvation. The Greek word is soteria. Soteria. And in the biblical word, that beginning of sows is such an important word. It's the same word out of which healing comes. Sosa, soteria. This notion of salvation has got this big notion to it. It's one of the biggest concepts in the Greek word. It means more than just one thing. When we see the word salvation, there are so many other words going on at the same time. It means rescue and deliverance and redemption. Salvation is the freedom from the power of sin and the penalties that ensue from it. It's healing and wholeness and reconciliation and reunion and repair. Salvation is the life that God intended us to live. It's becoming every bit whole. Salvation is about wholeness. Physical, mental, spiritual wholeness. Salvation is the realization that life and truth and love are supreme, and they destroy the illusions such as sin and death. This idea of salvation in the biblical notion was huge. It was big. It had both future and present implications. This idea of salvation, it's big, it's all-encompassing, it's the whole enchilada. You see, I mean, Jesus isn't just out to save you or save me, he's out to save us all. He's out to save the whole world. It's big, and when we talk about that notion of salvation, there is so much beautiful things that are happening and going on, and so much more than I can unpack for you today in the few minutes that we have left. But I want to tell you there's a few things about salvation that I want you to take home with you today. The first thing I want you to remember about this idea of salvation is it's what Jesus does. Right? Point one there, Max. It's Jesus who does the saving. Jesus saves us. And why is that important to remember that it's Jesus who saves us? Because it means we can't save ourselves. You ever tried to save yourself? You ever actually tried to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps? You can't actually do it. You need somebody else to help pull you up. I mean, they've done experiments where they've had people sit on the ground with their bootstraps. I don't know what bootstraps are, but there are such things as bootstraps, right? And you try to pull yourself up, and you can't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. There's this realization that you can't, that we can't save ourselves. So we don't need to try. try so hard to do it. Remember the verse that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. By grace, by gift, we have been saved. We've been rescued. We've been healed. We've been made whole. We've been reunited with God and with each other by a divine gift. And it's not by our works. It's Jesus that does the saving. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't work so hard that you can get it. It's simply a gift. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's God who took the action to save us. As with grace, all we can do is receive the gift of God's salvation. Here's what I want to tell you, the second thing about salvation. This gift that God has given you and me, it takes care of our past. And it secures our future. It takes care of our past and it secures our future. Imagine with me for a minute if we had to do this every day. If you woke up each morning and you had a spiritual whiteboard, right? And you had to walk around and take a record of all of the things that went wrong during that day. You had to keep track. Thanks, Todd, you're the man. Vanna White here today, right? You had to write down all of the hurts, all of the habits, all of the hang-ups. You had to take care of those things in the past. I'm just going to write college down here. Don't ask any questions about that. There's some things I've got to take care of with that. There's some relationships. I wasn't always a gentleman. Some things that need to get taken care of. Some hurts, some habits, some hang-ups, some times in my past that need to be taken care of. There's relationships that need to be mending. There are things left undone. Undone. Things that need to be done. All these things that I do, and every day I wake up, and if I spend my whole day keeping record of all of the things that I have done wrong, and every day I fill up this spiritual whiteboard one by one, point after point, things numbering into the hundreds, if not thousands of things over the course of a lifetime, I have this feeling sometimes that when I get to the pearly gate, this is what I have to present, right? You have this idea that you're going to get there and St. Peter or St. Paul, God or Jesus, someone's going to meet us and the first thing they're going to do is they're going to pull out the spiritual whiteboard and they're going to make us go through it one by one and account for every single thing that's on those lists. And when it comes to the idea of salvation, if you're sitting out there today and you're going, boy, I hope I'm saved, but I know this list. Nobody else knows this list but me, or at least knows the extent of this list that I carry around with me. When I get there, I don't know if I'm going to get in because I have to account for all of that. Remember, it's Jesus that does the saving. Hear what Paul says. Hold on to that there for a minute, Todd. You're doing great. Isn't he doing great? Isn't he doing great? The things you sign up for when you're the lay leader of your church, you just don't know. But here's what Scripture says that God has done in Jesus Christ for us, okay? Here's what it says that God has done. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, because of the spiritual whiteboard that we all carry around, we found ourselves separated from God. And in our heads, we believed that we were now enemies of God. Remember, it says they were enemies in our mind. He says, but now God has reconciled you, has reconnected you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and without accusation. You see, what Jesus did on the cross took your spiritual whiteboard, all of these things of your past that you carry around with you, that I carry around with me, and what he did in that moment in his death and resurrection is he took an eraser and one by one, with one false swoop, wiped this completely clean. Just like that, it was gone. Thank you, Todd. We're going to do it again in a minute, so stay tight. Just like that, it was gone. And so when you get up there, and you stand there at the pearly gate, and you pull out your spiritual whiteboard, you're going to find that it's white. That Jesus has taken care of it. All of it. Have you ever been to a restaurant and somebody picked up the bill for you? You went to pay the bill or the tab and somebody picked it up, or maybe somebody at your table that you didn't know that they were going to treat you before the meal was over, right? I mean, you ate the meal, right? You deserve to pay for the meal. The bill is yours. You own the bill, but somebody else picked it up. It doesn't matter if you sit there and argue with the waitress about it. I want to pay for it. She'll say it's already been paid for, but I'm going to pay for it. It's already been paid for. The bill of our past is ours. But it's already been paid for. It's already been wiped clean, and it blows our mind. It goes against everything we understand about this life because we couldn't do anything about it. Jesus did it for us. And it's a gift. So if you're walking around here today, worried that all of the mistakes of our past are somehow going to prevent you from reuniting with God when it's all said and done, I'm here today to tell you, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is our story. This is our song. Just when we felt we were alienated by God, and Jesus in his death and resurrection came and wiped the slate clean. Free of guilt, free of shame. When you get to heaven, the bill will already be paid. Paid in full. It's what salvation is all about. You see, there was this time I worked on this project. I was a youth pastor at my last appointment, and I worked with a group of high school kids on this big project. We set out to collect $250,000 in pennies, right? One penny at a time. We wanted to collect 250,000 pennies. How'd you like to count those every day, every Tuesday, Gene? That'd be pretty good, huh? 250,000 pennies. And at one point, I probably had $15,000 of spare change in my basement, right? All rolled in little shoe boxes. I mentioned that on a Sunday, and the president of the bank was sitting in the second row. He came up to me afterwards and says, "You know, I have a bank you can put that in, right?" Right? I said, "Good point, right?" So he had me call Larry, his vault guy. And a couple of weeks later, I arrived with two van loads full of high school teenagers and about $15,000 in spare change at the Comerica Vault downtown Detroit. They've never had a field trip of teenagers to the vault, right? And so when I pulled up into there, I was there on invitation from Larry. The security guard was a bit freaked out. Who on earth are all these teenagers climbing out of their vans as if they own the place? He was pretty upset. He was pretty worried. I saw Larry come out, and he went up to Larry. I couldn't quite see what he said, but his finger was pointing. He was doing something like this. And then Bridget heard him whisper in his ear, "This is the bank president's youth group." And he said, "Oh, welcome. Come on in. We're glad you're here." You see, we got in on his reputation, not our own. And when you get to the pearly gates, you're going to say, "I'm with him. I'm with Jesus." And it's Jesus' reputation that's going to get us in. It's not our own. And the doors of heaven will be open like the doors of the Comerica Bank vault were to those teenagers that day. Not because of anything they did. In fact, we were suspicious as all get out. But somebody else's reputation cleared the way for us. It's Jesus' reputation. It's what Jesus did. And when we get there, Jesus is going to say, "Those folks, are with me. And because we're with him, he's going to vouch for us. He's going to let us in. That's how salvation works today. You see, you couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Jesus has taken care of your past, and he's secured your future. In fancy theological words, what do we call that? We call that justification. Back up to there for me there, Max. We call it justification. Another one of those fancy seminary words. But when you are justified, you are made right with God. It's just as if we never sinned. You are justified because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You are justified. It's just as if you never sinned. And when you get there, you'll present a white, spiritual whiteboard. Wiped clean. But back to that. So that's the answer to the question tonight if you get hit by a Mack truck. You know where you're going, people. We know where we're going. Don't walk out of here in doubt of that. Jesus did way too much to relieve us of that doubt and that shame and that fear. That is secure. And there's nothing we can do about that except accept the truth of it. God has given us that gift. But let's answer the other question, the one I always want to ask those folks when they're knocking on my door. So what if I don't get hit by the truck? What if I got to still stay in this life with all its complexities and its brokenness and its hurt with the surprise diagnoses and the sisters who suddenly turn sick? What do I got to do, God, in this world? You got anything for me in this world? What if I don't get hit by that truck? Does this salvation have anything to do, or is it just me having to wait this all out until I can get a ticket out of this place? Oh, I'm here today to tell you that when it comes to salvation, it's the whole package. Point three, and the last thing I want to leave you with is, not only does Jesus secure our past and our future, Jesus is saving our lives right now. Right now, in this place. Listen what Paul says in Philippians. He who began a good work in you will carry it on in completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God began something in you, and Scripture says he's going to carry it out until completion. God's not done with us yet. God is still saving us. It's again when you have that spiritual whiteboard and it's full of all of the junk that we carry around. Sure, when we get to heaven, it's one false swoop of the eraser. But in our daily life, God is taking that eraser little by little, as much as we will let his Spirit do it. And he's erasing it piece by piece, day by day, removing those places of hurt and insecurity, those habits, those wounds, more and more each and every day, so that you and I can live more and more like the people God has called us to be. And don't you want to live more and more like the person God has called you to be? And let his Spirit in. Let it begin to save you. Let it begin to save us each and every day. How do we do that? I thought about it. We had new members last week. They made some promises. They're the promises we make every day, and that's called the means of grace. How do you let God save your life each day? Erase little bits and pieces. We're like clay that continues to be molded. You promise to be present. Show up when God's people come together. Something happens when we get together in this place. And I'm under no illusion that it has anything to do with me. Some days my sermons don't hit at all. I know that. They don't hit me, right? And I'm preaching them. I'm like, boy, man, I got to work harder on this one. But something happens simply by your being here. Be present and God will continue to work things out. Be in prayer. What's your prayer life like? Are you continually bringing before God those places in your own life? You know, when a church is in spiritual renewal is when people have the courage to stand up and say, I need prayer today. Because I'm struggling with this in my life and in my heart, and I, I need it to change. By what you give, you know, that money that we put in the plate isn't to keep the lights on here. It's in order to help save our souls. We are wired to give. People who give are happier people. They're freer people. The most radical thing we do each week is take that little bit of money we make and we give it away. It's a radical thing, and it's saving your life. I know it's saving my life. The more I give, the more alive I am. It erases greed and the things we hold on to. Service. Putting a ramp into someone's house saves your life. Bringing washcloths in saves your life. Buying a tree for Haiti saves our life. Service. Washing dishes, drying dishes at community meal saves our life. Little by little, God erases those things that weigh us down when we're in service. And finally, it's by witness. This is my story. This is my song. Let me tell it to somebody else out in the world, either through my words or through my actions. God is saving our lives. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion in Jesus Christ. Salvation. It's the whole enchilada, people. God has taken care of your past. God has secured your future. And God is involved right now in our present. God is saving us. The fancy theological word for that is sanctification. God is sanctifying you. You're sanctified. Or you're on your way to sanctification. Because sanctification is a lifelong process of continuing to become the people God has called you to be. So the next time someone knocks on their door and they ask you if you're saved, the answer to that is two. Yes, I'm saved. I know where I'm going. And the second answer to that is not completely yet. God isn't done with me yet. But that good work that He has begun in me, He's going to do it to completion as long as I let Him in. See, that's the miracle of today. You see, I was always taught John 3:16. You remember that verse? God so loved the world. It's like the only verse I had memorized for most of my life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have life eternal. And I was always taught, Jeff, what you can do is you can take the word world out of there and you can put your name in there. God so loved Jeff Nelson that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You can put your own name in there. But on Worldwide Sunday today, we realize that sometimes we got to take our name out of there. We got to put the world back in there. Because God, while He's interested in saving me, when He's done with me, He's not done with the world. And here's the miracle of it. God is using my salvation in order to help save others. At least make their day a little better. Make their load a little lighter.